Hello, good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. It's Friday, it's February 28th. The Packers are Super Bowl champions, and we've got a lot to talk about today regarding the offseason. Tried to stay away from the offseason talk the last episode of Railbird Central. Not so today. Only so much I can recap the Super Bowl. They won. They were awesome. That's about it. We could say that a million times. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But I think there's some pretty interesting things going on in the offseason. Franchise tags, free agency, the combine coming up less than a week away now. Going to turn our attention to the NFL draft not too long. So, pretty fun times. If you want to join the conversation today, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath our broadcast player. Any of those things will do, just like Midwest Fan did. Glad to have everybody joining us today. Not too much in Green Bay Packers news today proper in the past 24 hours. If you check out today's Packers Morning links, I left a link to it at the top of the live blog if you want to check it out, follow along. Top story today is about the NFL and the Players Union agreeing to have a mediator present in some future negotiations. You click this link, it'll take you to an article hosted over at PackersNews.com by the Green Bay Press Gazette. And the writer, AP pro football writer Barry Wilner writes, quote, both sides agreed Thursday to mediation as they discussed a new collective bargaining agreement. The Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, an independent U.S. government agency, will oversee talks in Washington beginning today. So good news, progress at least being made as the owners and the players try to hammer out a new CBA. Just about 2 weeks here until the current one expires and potential lockout taking place. A week ago they had called off any negotiation sessions weren't getting along too well. So progress being made at least. They're at least talking now. Good for them. I wouldn't expect, it's not my expectation that an agreement will be reached by the March 3rd deadline, the expiration of the current CBA. But I'm hopeful at least one will be struck before the next season. I can't imagine that they would go into next season without one. But, you know, other than that, not a whole lot of news, Packers news, in the past 24 hours. There was earlier this week some interesting stuff that we'll get to. Other news today, those Packers are in the Middle East. There was an article by the U.S. Navy talking about how they visited a ship in the Arabian Sea. For you gamers out there, the Madden NFL 11 player ratings have been tweaked, have been upgraded for a lot of Packers. Aaron Rodgers now at a 99. I'm not a gamer, so I don't know what that means exactly, but I can imagine he's rated highly. I think I've picked up that much at least. It was officially Jordy Nelson Day in the state of Kansas yesterday, a proclamation by Kansas's governor. And that's about it as far as Packers news in the past 24 hours. We'll get to the more interesting stuff here, though. That occurred over the course of the week. Perhaps the biggest story, and I'll just show a photo here for those of you watching live to the show, posted by our own Aaron Nagler earlier in the week. McCarthy, head coach Mike McCarthy, to sign an extension that will make him one of the 10 highest paid coaches in the league. General manager Ted Thompson was signed to an extension earlier last week sometime. Now it's McCarthy's turn. So, you know, he deserves it. Head coach Mike McCarthy, I think, deserves this pay raise. He deserves the extension. You know, in his 5 years, he's won a Super Bowl, which is the ultimate prize, the ultimate goal that, you know, only one of 32 coaches can attain every year. And aside from that, he has an appearance in the NFC Championship game and another playoff appearance to his name. So, you know, I think it's, he deserves it. He's one of the up-and-coming coaches, and there's no reason to think Packers aren't set up for future success here in the upcoming years. So congrats to head coach Mike McCarthy. But some of the more interesting things I think we're going to get to today is about free agency. Posted a article or a blog post earlier in the week. I'm not sure if it even deserves article status, more just a post, thoughts flowing out of my head about free agent predictions. A lot of free agents. The Packers have an unusually high amount of free agents this year. 15 of them, by my count. And possibly even 16, if you consider Johnny Jolly and his contract, technically, agreed to before his suspension was set to expire. So 15 free agents, high number of players the Packers are going to have to deal with this offseason. Two of the most intriguing ones, defensive lineman Cullen Jenkins and kicker Mason Crosby, could be candidates for the franchise tag. They are the most likely candidates. Not saying it's going to happen, but they're at least being discussed that they could be candidates for a franchise tag or possibly even a transition tag. Something like that. So I guess what we're going to talk about today is the viability of that. Can they be tagged? Should they be tagged? And the future of other free agents for the Packers as well. There's some more other interesting ones out there. Wide receiver James Jones, running back Brandon Jackson, guard Darren College, and a whole host of others too. And we'll be going through those kind of things, whether they deserve it, whether they'll be back with the Packers or somewhere else next season. A lot of interesting angles here. So I guess, you know, let's start with the tags. In my mind, the most likely candidate, if it is to happen, is kicker Mason Crosby. And I suppose we should preface this with the whole collective bargaining agreement and whether tags can be used or whether they cannot. And I suppose I just assume everybody out there has seen the news that other teams are using tags. Philadelphia's used theirs with Michael Vick. The Jets have used theirs with linebacker David Harris. Who else out there has been tagged? There's been a couple of them. And if anybody else wants to throw these out on the live blog to refresh my memory, feel free. I know David Akers was tagged with the transition tag by the Eagles as well. So, they are being used. The question is whether they are still binding when a new CBA is struck or after the current one expires. The players, not surprisingly, has said they will not count. And of course, I don't think they do. They don't want, although they would enjoy the money that comes with a franchise tag, a lot of times it just results in a one-year contract. They want the ability to go out and sign a multi-year, long-term deal. That's why they do not want the tag. That's why a guy like Cullen Jenkins probably doesn't want it. You know, he doesn't want one-year deal. You know, he could get injured next year and then not make nearly as much the following year. So that's why they don't want it. The feeling for me is that I think they will be honored. These franchise tags that are placed upon players now will be honored when a new collective bargaining agreement is struck. You look at the entire group that the NFLPA represents. Hundreds of players, thousands of players. You know, over 50 for each team. That's just on the regular season roster. That doesn't even count, you know, practice squad guys. Those who are signed to futures contracts. I mean, the roster maximum around training camp is 80. So 80 times 32 teams. I mean, we're talking about thousands of players. And how many get hit with a franchise tag or a transition tag? 10? Does it even hit double digits? And probably right around there. So, I mean, we're talking 1% of players have a franchise tag. I think the players' union will agree to have these franchise tags binding once a new deal is struck, shall we say. So now that we got that out of the way, that's my opinion. That isn't the gospel. That isn't the truth. I have no clue what's going to happen. But, so anyway, let's get back to this here. And my thoughts that Mason Crosby is the most likely. Not saying he will. I'm saying if any player on the Packers is going to get tagged, if anyone is, it's going to be Mason Crosby. And this is already people are having a hard time believing this. Jersey Al is saying I'm causing him pain this morning. I'm not saying if I was the GM of the Packers, I would be doing this. I'm just talking about reality here, what I think is going to happen. Midwest fan says he doesn't think he is tag worthy. John Rayor says take a kicker whose career field goal percentage is less than 80%. Okay. So this isn't getting a whole lot of support. I guess, you know, I tried to make the argument here. I put Mason Crosby and Darren College, those two players, a lot in the same boat. They've proven to be average NFL players. Some might even say a notch below average. Some could make that argument. I guess what you risk is you risk getting something worse with both those players if you let them go, if you let them walk. And that's why I think they will both come back to the Packers. I don't know if it'll be in tag form for Crosby, but I think he will come back. Now, just look at what the Packers did with John Ryan. I was never in support of that move to begin with. One of the more questionable moves general manager Ted Thompson has made in his entire career, and I'm sure he wishes he had that one back. For 2 years following John Ryan. They had Derek Frost, who was unbelievably bad, and Jeremy Capinos. 2 years of worse production than what they thought was an average punter. And I thought John Ryan was at least average, if not above. So you risk getting something worse, and you don't want to go through years of that. You don't want to go through years of that, because if you don't find the right replacement, then you're stuck. Then you're stuck. You make the wrong call on one guy, and then you can have years before you find something equal to or better than what you had before. So, that's my reasoning with a guy like Mason Crosby. That's what I think the Packers' reasoning is. Is he worth the franchise tag? That's the question. So they estimate the kicker franchise tag being worth about $3.3 million or so. You know, I suppose here's what I would do. You put the tag on Crosby for, and you do sign him for that 1 year. You do sign him for that 1 year. And you find out whether he can live up to that $3.3 million a season. He's got to get better. He's got to be about 85% field goals next season. So, I mean, $3.3 million is not all that much in the whole grand scheme of things for an NFL team and the salary cap when you consider all those factors combined. It is not all that much. You can live with that for one season. So if I'm the Packers, that's what I do. You put the franchise tag on him, you sign him for the 1 year deal, and you find out, is he franchise tag worthy? Is he one of the top 10 kickers in the NFL? If he's not, then you make the choice to move on next season. You found out you can win a Super Bowl with Mason Crosby. That's the thing with Darren College and Mason Crosby here. You found out you can win a Super Bowl with them. It doesn't get any better than that. If you can win a Super Bowl with them, I mean, why mess with what's working? So that's what I do. I don't know if you sign Mason Crosby to a long-term deal right now. That you're certainly putting yourself in a rough position if you are, signing him to a 4-year contract and making him your go-to kicker for the next 4 years. That's a risk as well. So that is the reasoning. Jersey Al's taking me to task that he wasn't needed to win the Super Bowl. And I suppose you could say that about 40 other players on the roster as well. I mean, that's just kind of an empty argument if you ask me. The thing is, the Packers won a Super Bowl with him. They could get worse in return. So that's the reasoning. That's the argument. Okay, let's move on to Cullen Jenkins. All right, we had plenty of talk here about Mason Crosby. Probably more talk about the kicker here than anywhere else you'll find anywhere on sports talk radio. Spending the first 20 minutes of a show about a kicker, but. Okay, Cullen Jenkins. Here's the deal here. The franchise tag is expected to be for defensive ends about 13 million dollars. That's a lot of cash. That's a lot of cash. And the deal with 3-4 defensive ends is really they're glorified tackles. And the franchise tag for a defensive tackle is a little over $10 million. So there is about a $3 million difference there almost. So that's pretty interesting. You know, because, you know, the Packers don't even spend that much time. They spend more time out of their base 3-4 than they do in it. And when they are in nickel, they're in dime or whatever, Cullen Jenkins is a tackle. He's an interior pass rusher. He's playing about a 3 technique sometimes. Heck, in the Psycho, he's playing right over the nose. So the argument can be made he is a defensive tackle. So who knows what the Packers would do there. Is he worth $10 million a season? You know, if you could put the defensive tackle tag on Cullen Jenkins, is he worth $10 million? At least for 1 year? You could put the tag on him and give him that 1 year offer and then put this whole decision off for another season. You could do that. Is he worth $10 million for one season? John Rahor comments, let him walk. Too much money for the tag. Getting older. Love him, but I say let him go. Midwest fan says there should be a separate tag number for 3-4 ends. And perhaps you are right, Midwest fan. Maybe that has to come with the new collective bargaining agreement. I mean, for goodness sake, there is enough teams running the 3-4 nowadays where they can accurately gauge what a 3-4 end is worth. And that is not a bad idea. We'll send you to Washington, David, to take part in these negotiations today. Get your plane ticket ready. Regardless, that's not helping the Packers right now. So you know, I'm almost wondering if they could get him, if they could tag him as a defensive tackle, if he wouldn't be worth $10 million for 1 year. And I wrote this in another blog post, something that kind of caught my attention, was what the Packers did in 2008 with Corey Williams. They slapped the franchise tag on him and traded him 2 weeks later. Now that presents a whole ton of problems because once the collective bargaining agreement expires in 2 weeks, you cannot tag anyone after that point. In fact, I think there is a deadline you have to apply your tags by. That doesn't even coincide with the end of the CBA. But then you can't do any trades either. Just to get rid of any confusion during the draft, you can still trade picks for picks. You know, I think the Packers did it when they got Jordy Nelson. They gave up their first for a second and a third or something like that, if memory serves me correctly. And they can still do that. I think they did the same thing with when they acquired Clay Matthews, too. They got a first for a second and a third or something along those lines. Maybe it was 2 seconds. I can't remember exactly. So I'm losing my train of thought here. The CBA is so confusing that it'll do that to you. You know, I thought perhaps, you know, you could tag a guy like Jenkins and then trade him away. And then I realize unless there's a deal in place, you can't trade him. But, I mean, that would seem to be a good idea, you know, rather than just let Cullen Jenkins walk away, you could at least get something in return, like the Packers did with Corey Williams. They got a second-round draft pick. And in that case, it worked out. They got a second-round draft choice. Pretty good. Pretty good return in exchange for Corey Williams. And then you got to remember, too, the whole compensatory draft choice thing that happens in the NFL. It's almost like people forget about that because it happens a year down the road. The Packers in this current draft, the one coming up in just 2 months, and a little more than that, but in April, they're going to get a draft choice for Aaron Campman, who was lost a year ago. So, I mean, these things, you know, they come a year later, which people tend to forget about. And the same thing will happen the next year here. If Cullen Jenkins just happens to walk away via free agency, via free agent, if the Packers lose more free agents than they gain, which is a guarantee, you can take that one to the bank. You know the Packers aren't going to sign more free agents than they lose. But I can't imagine the Packers signing a single free agent this year. With how deep they are, I cannot see the Packers signing a single free agent. Not a one. maybe some guy far down the roster that, you know, this year they signed Charlie Pepper in free agency. You know, maybe they sign a guy of Charlie Pepper's status again. Some guy who's not going to cost you much, who's probably near the league minimum, something like that. But yeah, I mean, a year down the road, they lose Cullen Jenkins, they lose some other guys. You know, you lose a guy like Cullen Jenkins, you're going to get like a third-round compensatory draft choice in return. So even though maybe you don't trade him, you are going to get perhaps compensation down the road. Midwest fan says, under the current deal, as the Super Bowl winner, we can't sign free agents unless we lose one, correct? Well, that was the case last year. That was the case last year. The Super Bowl winners couldn't sign a free agent unless they lose one. But now with the collective bargaining agreement set to expire, that rule's going to go away once they sign a new one, I imagine. I shouldn't say that. I don't know that for a fact. Maybe it's the case they bring that rule back. We don't know. You know, that was just like, you know, a one-year thing that the owners put in there. I believe the owners did. For the last league year of the collective bargaining agreement. So, seeing as the CBA is expiring, you know, no rules apply. So, if I had to imagine what's going to happen, I think that rule will go away. I have no clue, no idea of knowing, but I think that rule will go away. And even if it doesn't, even if the Packers, you know, can't sign a free agent until they lose one, boy, it's not even really going to matter in the whole scheme of things because the Packers are going to, you know, I don't know who they are, but they're going to lose some free agents this year. Like I said, there's 15 of them. Only a dozen, I think, who are unrestricted free agents, but, and that's if the rules revert to 4 years being eligible after your fourth year being eligible for unrestricted free agency. So, it really wouldn't even matter to the Packers because they're going to lose guys. So, you know, so they once they lose one, then they could go sign one if they need to, if they wanted to. And with the Packers, it really doesn't even matter. What we're going to do, folks, it's 8:30. I'm going to take a little bit of a break here. We talked about the franchise tags ad nauseum here. Mason Crosby, Colin Jenkins. When we come back, let's get to some of the other players on the roster who are set to become free agents.
Hey, this is Corey Hall, fullback for the Packers. You're listening to Railbird Central.
Welcome back, everyone, to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Thanks for joining us. Please remember, if you want to join the conversation on our live blog, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird, the hashtags CheeseheadTV, use our Twitter widget, and I am opening up the phone lines, folks. If you want to call in, please, by all means, if you want to say how ridiculous that Mason Crosby could get a franchise tag, whether or not the Packers should do it with a guy like Colin Jenkins, any other thoughts on free agency, by all means, if you want to call in, share your thoughts. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. 646-797-2909. By all means, call into the show. What else happened in the world today? We could talk about politics. A lot going on in Wisconsin with Governor Scott Walker's proposed bill for public workers. That is just blown up lately. No, we're not going to talk about that. I could not talk intelligibly about that topic. Blowing up my Twitter feed is that Radiohead is releasing their album a day early or something like that. I don't know what that's all about either. I like Radiohead, but probably not enough to buy an album. Did years ago. Anyhow, other topics on the docket for today. Some of their other free agents that the Packers have coming up. Wide receiver James Jones being one of the top ones. Earlier in the week, might have been Monday this week even, found a column coming out of Cleveland, a writer from Cleveland thinking James Jones could be a target of the Browns, maybe even the Bengals, both teams needing wide receiver help. That is just one writer's opinion, thinking that based upon the needs of the team that they could go after a guy like Jones. And, you know, I think the Packers lose James Jones. You know, he's got his ring. He can now move on and perhaps become, you know, what I'm sure he wants to be, a number one wide receiver. Whether he can be or not, I don't know. He was very inconsistent with catching the ball. You know, he dropped a couple bordering on several touchdown passes this year. Certainly did a good job otherwise. You know, he had 50 receptions, over 600 yards this season, several touchdowns, including in the playoffs. There's a lot to like about James Jones. My guess is he lands somewhere else, tests the free agency waters whenever that does happen. Would I be surprised if the Packers brought him back? No, I wouldn't be surprised about anything the Packers do. I could be wrong on every single one of my predictions. I will freely admit that. Darren College, another player. One of the more high-profile ones slated to become a free agent this season. My prediction on Darren College is the Packers bring him back. You know, I already mentioned it during the first half of the show today, how I compare him a lot to Mason Crosby. He's an average player, but the Packers can win a Super Bowl with him. You risk getting something worse if you don't bring him back. I don't think he'll be highly sought after. You know, will some team show some interest? Sure. But I think the Packers could meet that maybe even exceed that, and I think he'll be back. Again, would it surprise me if he leaves? No, it wouldn't. Not in the least. Not at all. But my guess is Darren College comes back. And one more here, and then I'll check out the live blog, see what people are saying. Running back Brandon Jackson. So if anybody here, you want to throw out your thoughts on James Jones, Darren College, Brandon Jackson, feel free. Again, I think Brandon Jackson will come back to the Packers. You know, kind of in that same boat here as Crosby in College as well, kind of a below average guy, but he is above average in, you know, one very important category that the Packers value, and that is as a third down back, both as a blocker and a receiver, above average in those categories, which makes him have value to any team in the NFL, but especially the Packers. They've shown they can win with him, and I think if he is not, you know, made to be a feature back, that especially helps him out. You know, the Packers next year, hopefully, will have both Ryan Grant and James Starks at their disposal. So, hopefully those will, you know, keep Brandon Jackson to a third down role, and he won't have to carry the ball anywhere but there. So, I think the Packers offer him a contract. Again, probably one that won't break the bank. And he'll be back. Midwest fans, as James Jones is an interesting topic. He is so good at times. And he is. He can be so good. So good. John Rahor says, I would tag James Jones, but that's why I'm not a GM. You would tag James Jones. Interesting thought. Wonder if James Jones could be had for the transition tag. The one that doesn't pay him, you know, quite the average of the top five wide receivers in the NFL, but rather average of the top 10. Is James Jones a top 10 receiver in the NFL? I don't think we'll ever find out with the Packers. You know, James Jones will be, or Greg Jennings will be ahead of him. And I believe Greg Jennings could be a top five wide receiver, and he's being paid like one. You know, maybe, I think the only way we ever find out if James Jones could be a top 10 wide receiver is if he does go somewhere else and is a more of a featured role. And that would be a lot of money tied up in just wide receivers if you were to tag James Jones. You know, you're already paying Greg Jennings a lot of money, one of the higher paid wide receivers in the NFL. Then you're going to tag James Jones. And Donald Driver doesn't make chump change either. You know, he's not one of the highest paid, but, you know, just as a what is he, nearing a 10-year veteran? And he's up there. He's up there. And John Rahor says Driver clearly on the decline and need more than Jennings and Nelson out there. Yes, if the Packers do happen to lose a James Jones, it'll be interesting to see what they do at wide receiver. A lot of people have said wide receiver could be a position the Packers look at in the draft. You know, the draft for me is such a weird thing. It's like I almost like just shake my head when people say the Packers, I think they'll go after a defensive back. I think they'll go after a tackle. You name it. Ted Thompson has just shown he's going to go for the best player available, and it wouldn't surprise me to be any position during the draft. You know, I don't think the Packers will be targeting anything. other than the best player. They're not going to target a position. So I think, you know, for a while I was thinking in my mind, well, even if the Packers do lose James Jones, they're still going to be pretty good at wide receiver. You know, next year they've got Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, and Jordy Nelson coming back for sure. Like, that's three pretty darn good receivers. There's a definite drop-off after that. Brett Swain is Brett Swain, and he's, you know, probably, you know, he was the fifth wide receiver this year, and maybe no better than a fifth on any team in the NFL. Could he work his way up the charts? Maybe. Time will tell. But I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't bet on it. I would just let the chips fall where they may, and we'll see about that one. So I was thinking, you know, do the Packers really need to add depth at wide receiver, even if they lose James Jones? They got three pretty good guys. You know, even one of them could, you know, sustain an injury, and the Packers still have two very good ones. But, you know, I suppose, it, like I said, with anything, it wouldn't surprise me if the Packers address any position. And they certainly could address wide receiver during the draft and get a little more depth, get a little more stability at the position. Wouldn't surprise me. So that'll be interesting to see. In fact, some person on Twitter had asked me if the Packers would target Titus Young of Boise State in the first round. You know, he's kind of a, you know, fringe first-round type of player, wide receiver. But the thing is, he does have that return ability, which I was like, wow. The one glaring hole on the Packers. You know, it's not like this is a, you have to have an impact return man to win a Super Bowl. The Packers shown they could do it without it. But, I mean, there's no doubt there's not a return specialist on the Packers. You know, you might say the outside linebacker position opposite Clay Matthews might be a little bit of a hole. But, I mean, you got a bunch of guys there who can try to be that person. You got Frank Zombo. You got Eric Walden. You got Brad Jones. You know, there are options there. Maybe one of them develops into a pretty good outside linebacker. From the looks of things, there is not a person who's going to develop into a good kick returner, punt returner. And maybe the Packers do go that route. Like I said, it wouldn't surprise me to be anyone, but that Titus Young of Boise State kind of intrigued me because not only is he a kick returner, he's a wide receiver as well and has had success at Boise State, and just a name to keep an eye on. Just a name to keep an eye on. I found out I'm officially going to the Combine next week. Less than a week from now, I'll be in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. And that'll be fun. Maybe I will have the chance, the opportunity to speak to a Titus Young or somebody else. So I'm excited for that opportunity to go check some players out, future NFL players, at the Combine. I suppose definitely interested in seeing some of the outside linebackers. You know, just as assessing the needs of the Packers, whether they address them or not. I think some of the needs on the Packers, two of the bigger ones, in addition to return specialist, would be outside linebacker and offensive line. So I'll be interested to see those guys for sure. Those types of players, hopefully, I would like to see the Packers address those positions at some point during the draft. Hopefully they find a diamond of the rough or something like that. If anybody wants to call in, phone number is 646-797-2909, 646-797-2909. 2909. We could talk about some of the other free agents here the Packers have as well. Throw a couple other names out there that I threw some predictions out earlier in the week. John Kuhn, fullback John Kuhn, is a free agent. I think this might be the most slam dunk guaranteed person to come back to the Packers, John Kuhn. The reason I think that is this. The Packers actually hold some of the bargaining chips with John Kuhn. You know, do you think there's any other team in the NFL that will give the ball to John Kuhn as much as the Packers? I don't think there's a single team out there that would give him the ball as much as the Packers. You know, to take a fullback and actually put him at halfback, you know, give him the ball on the goal line, let him score touchdowns, work him into the receiving game. I have no doubt that there's another team out there that would do that. So I think, you know, if Kuhn, even if he wants to test free agency, you know, I think he's got to realize and see, wow, I've got it pretty good in Green Bay. They love me there. They scream my name every time I touch the ball. This is the place I want to be, and maybe I take a little less money to come back here. And I'm sure the Packers will give him a very competitive offer, make him paid very competitively compared to other fullbacks in the NFL. So, that's the one. If I were to bet on any player coming back to the Packers, there's where I'd put my money on. John Kuhn, I think he's coming back. Charlie Peppra, safety. Interesting case. Came into training camp probably as the fifth, sixth string safety because of injuries. Morgan Burnett goes down. Derek Martin goes down. Anthony Smith goes down. All these players get injured. All of a sudden, Charlie Peppra's your starter. And he was on the depth chart ahead of Anthony Smith and things like that to begin with. But, you know, still, all of a sudden there's less depth at the position. And Charlie Peppra has a very solid season for the Packers, especially considering the expectations for him and his prior play, which was been nothing special prior to the season. So for Charlie Peppra to come in and play like he did, fantastic. I mean, he rarely got beat, which I think maybe perhaps, you know, that was very underrated, you know, how well he played in pass coverage. Did he get many interceptions? No. Would he have two on the year? But, you know, to not get beat for touchdowns, you know, did he get beat for one or two on the year? Maybe, yeah. But other than that, I mean, you know, this is a guy who's not giving up touchdowns. What more can you ask? And the best part of his game, no doubt, was playing in the box, was being a willing and, you know, at times ferocious tackler. You know, the Packers could come up there and he would come up in run support and do very well. Very well. So, you know, will Charlie Peppra receive attention on the free agent market? You'd have to think that, you know, after the season he had, he'll certainly get more than you expected coming into the, you know, had you said a year ago. Comparatively, he'll be getting more attention. Will it be millions and millions of dollars? I doubt it. But the guess here is Charlie Peppra again comes back and they give him an opportunity to compete for a starting job. And what more could you ask for? As long as the Packers give him a fair shot, you know, to compete with a guy like Morgan Burnett last year, that's all you can ask for. And if Charlie Peppra continues to play like he did this year, maybe he stays as the starter. I could see it. two more interesting cases here, and I put these guys a lot in the same boat as well, Atari Bigby and Jason Spitz. Both kind of have an injury history, and both are free agents, and I see both these guys signing elsewhere. Again, would it surprise me for the Packers to bring him back? Not in the least, but I think it's more likely they end up elsewhere. Atari Bigby, especially. Yeah, I think he wants a change of scenery other than Green Bay. Interesting that Charlie Peppera jumped ahead of him. And Atari Bigby's agent is Drew Rosenhaus. Will teams be willing to negotiate with Drew Rosenhaus for an average safety? Can Drew Rosenhaus bring Atari Bigby a nice contract? That'll be interesting to see play out as well. And Jason Spitz, I just don't think there's a spot for him any longer. The one opportunity Jason Spitz got, I think it came against Detroit this year. Darren College got hurt, if I'm correct. And Spitz came in and was promptly benched after like two series or something like that. That doesn't bode well. That doesn't say a whole lot about what the Packers think of you if that's all you can play is two series and you're sent back to the bench. And maybe Jason Spitz needs a change of scenery too. Maybe he needs a fresh start somewhere else. So good luck to those guys. They certainly have not been problems, cancers to the team at all. They've been good soldiers, and good luck to them elsewhere if they do happen to test the free agent waters. Taking a look at some of the other comments on the live blog here. John Rahor says, gotta re-sign Kuhn. B. Markovich 57 agrees. John Rahor says, absolutely re-sign Peppera, earned at least another look next season. Midwest fan says, I think Kuhn is a lot more valuable to the Packers than he would be to any other team. Peppera is one of the biggest surprises this season. Excellent tackler, and he doesn't get beat much in pass coverage. So, interesting. Midwest fan says, didn't Spitz injure his back neck a few years ago? Hasn't been the same since. Yes, Jason Spitz did something to his back two seasons ago, 2009. Of course, he entered 2009 as the starter at center, and ever since he got injured, Scott Wells has taken over and has done fantastic for the Packers. But yeah, he really hasn't been the same player since. And maybe it will take another offseason here once he gets a little R&R to rest that back a little bit. Maybe it will get stronger eventually. We will see. But I think the Packers are set up pretty well with their depth along the interior offensive line. You know, they've got TJ Lang, who's not even a starter, but many think he could be. You know, he's probably, you know, the next guy in line. They've got, you know, the draft choice from this past year, Marshall Newhouse, you know, kind of a guy who's, you know, just been a rookie and he didn't play at all this year, and that's fine for a rookie. The thing is, when you get to the stage of who was the offensive lineman there, the tall guy, Breno Giacomini, who in his second and third years didn't see any playing time, wasn't for too long in his third year, but you know, you get to that second year and you're not seeing any playing time at all, then that's not a good thing. But for a rookie, that's okay, like Newhouse, as long as he can come in next year and show his abilities. You know, there's a reason they kept around Marshall Newhouse and Nick McDonald all season long. Despite all these injuries, they had all these opportunities to replace, you know, cut those guys to make room for other positions. but the Packers decide to keep Marshall Newhouse and Nick McDonald on their rosters all season long. And they have, you know, that can be a good thing. And I think the Packers see something in them, and they'll be brought back and will compete for a spot even, perhaps. Evan Dietrich Smith as well. Packers cut ties with him earlier this season, this past season, 2010, but he came back toward the end for the playoff run. And, he signed a contract 2 years. He'll be back with the team next year, and he'll be given a chance. I don't know if Evan Dietrich Smith will be back with the Packers in 2011 or not, but he should go to training camp with them at least and compete for a job on the 53-man roster, if not for a starting spot. Been interesting today. Thanks a lot, folks, for joining us on Railbird Central. Running out of time here as it becomes 9 o'clock. Talked a lot about franchise and transition tags. Talked a lot about free agency, whenever that's going to happen, as the CBA will impact that decision. But it's been fun. Next week is the Combine. Should have a lot of coverage of that on Cheesehead TV in the next week or so. Myself and Aaron Nagler will be in Indianapolis to provide updates. And hopefully we'll talk more about that later as we get prepared for the draft. That's the next big thing on the docket for the NFL. And that for sure is going to happen. Regardless of the CBA or not, the draft is on. With that, folks, that'll do it here for Railbird Central today. Thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend, everyone. We will see you later. See ya.